All right, I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to John in chapter number 15. To John chapter number 15. Now, we'll be in a couple of other places tonight as well, but we'll begin with John chapter 15. Actually, we'll start with John 14, and then we'll go to John 15. The problem is the verses are 14, 15, and 15, 14. So if you look in John chapter 14, verse number 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Chapter 15, verse number 14, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And tonight we want to talk about the culture of commandments, the culture of commandments. God, we are grateful that we can study, to learn, to just see in your word what you call love, what you call friendship, what you call this relationship. And Lord, we are touching on one of those subjects where there's many opinions, and we don't want opinion. We want your truth. And we pray that you'll help us tonight with that, and that we might walk away knowing exactly how to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And y'all may be seated. There are 613 laws in what we call the Law of Moses. How many of y'all say, "I have a problem remembering all 10 of the 10 commandments," right? Come on. So we know it would be difficult to keep up with and extremely difficult to maintain. And the New Testament is even less clear than the Old Testament, because the New Testament, I handed you out a sheet, but I've seen anywhere from 30 up to 50 different commandments of Christ. And some people say it has to be an imperative, and you know, there's all sorts of thoughts, but there's no definitive number on how many commandments Christ gave. And it's easy to get caught up in the number of things that a person needs to do in order to please God. But remember, in God's word, it's not about rules, it's about relationship. So what's most important? Because you might say, well, are there commandments that are more important than others? And I would say, the only way to say yes is if God says so. Because it's not up to the pastor. Amen? And so the passage that we have read, or the passages that we have just read, indicate that God says love is important. I want to love God. I want God to know that I love him, just like you do. So the priority seems to be on love. And if God says love's important, then, well, you know, I think that we ought to make that important as well. So tonight we study this idea, the culture of commandments, and to see God's priority. And there are two simple thoughts tonight. That's it. First, God has the right to command his children. Secondly, keeping Christ's commandments is a sign of love and friendship with God. So he can command us, and that's how we show him we love him. Sounds rather simple, doesn't it? Somebody could say yes. It sounds simple. I didn't say it is, but it sounds it, right? So we are going to talk about how God has the right to command his children. And can I say this? Commandments get a bad rap. Obedience gets a bad rap. People talk about it very negatively. And I've heard people say before, "Your God has so many rules." Well, I don't live under the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. But people say this as if rules are evil. And never mind that they want themselves to have certain rules in a society, correct? Yeah. And the insinuation is this: you're weak because you follow God's commandments. And I don't believe that's true, and I know that you don't as well. I know that I don't love all the rules of government as if those are right. I think that 45 on 64th Street is a little slow. But there is. There's this thought, and it drives a question. Is it evil to follow God's commandments, and are God's commandments wrong? That's what people are insinuating. And here's the thing. Man has a need for that which is true and that which is right, that which is from God. We need a foundation, something to build our lives upon. It's a part of the downfall of sin. Because of sin, we don't have the ability to make perfect and wise choices at all times. God's commandments help us to make the right choices. And in every society, you will find what they call right and wrong. And they write laws to back that up. Now, the commandments of God began at Mount Sinai, formally. And this happened very soon after they left Egypt. So they crossed through the Red Sea, they get out into the wilderness, and very soon they are at Mount Sinai, and God calls Moses up to the mount. Do y'all know why? Do y'all know the verse that says God called Moses up to the mount and told him what they were going to talk about? Because there is none. God just told him to get up the mount. God didn't tell him what they were going to talk about. There was no purpose stated or anything like that. He just began giving Moses his commandments. He just began to say, this is what a relationship with me is going to include. He dictated commandments. Right? Yeah, and that's how most people feel. But fallen man cannot determine for himself what he needs. And commandments come from the wisdom of God. So God did this because that's what we need as human beings. What we need is that which is right, that which is true. Now, I thought instead of making y'all move all over the Bible back and forth tonight, in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 19, I have not spoken in secret, says the Lord, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So let's take a look at that particular verse, because God shows us the commandments we need and the way they need to come to us. And if you notice the first thing he said there, he says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, to follow God is a crutch, or it's empty, or it has no purpose? Y'all have heard this? Yeah. Well, I began to study this. And the word vain there, I was expecting to find the normal Hebrew word for vain. But it wasn't. It was tohu. And it caught me because in Hebrew class, we spent a lot of time on Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, with tohu wabohu. The earth was without form and void. And the word tohu is the word form. So without form. And that's exactly what God says here. And he's saying that to follow him is not without form. It's not without worth. It's the opposite. It has great value. It has great worth. It has great form. Have you ever heard of somebody that orders their life and tries to put it together so it makes sense? Right? Rules, regulations, axioms that they live by. That's exactly what God is saying that I have given to you. So when the whole world tells you that you're seeking God in vain, the truth is, no, you're not. As a matter of fact, God's commandments are foundational to almost every society on earth. Why? Because God's truth permeates his entire creation. Because it is his creation. It is what he made. And the commandments that God gives, he breaks this up. He says, I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. He speaks that which is right and true. Now, one of my Hebrew lexicons says what's neat about this is it means that which is ordered, that which is easy, that which is simple, that which is good and honorable. And the reason why that is so important is because how many of y'all have ever heard of the oracles of those days? You would go and visit a temple, and they had what was called an oracle. And that was the person that brought the wisdom to you from their god, Dionysus or whoever, Zeus or whoever it may be. And one guy that we watched that does some Bible programs was talking about a lady that sat in a chair that was suspended, and there was a hole, and out of the hole came noxious fumes, and they believed that she was high or stoned kind of on this noxious fumes, and she was the one that gave you the oracles. Amen. You know? But they never came back with anything definitive. Have you ever noticed something about God's word and God's commandments? They are simple. They are straightforward. They are very easy to understand. Why? Because they are righteousness and they are right. As a matter of fact, God's commandments are rather doable when you think about it, especially the Ten Commandments, and what he has commanded is not wrong. So what we need to know is this: God's commandments are given to us to enable us to have a relationship with him, and that God's commandments are good. Because God is not without form, he's not vain. Because God is righteous, because God speaks right, he has the right to command our lives. And that's one of the things that is not evil. It is good. Don't you want to worship God? Isn't that what part of the commandments are about, is worshiping him? And now he begins to talk about that the commandments give you and me the opportunity to prove our love and our friendship. And that's where we were in John 14 and John 15. So notice this, John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So this is what you call a conditional statement. The condition is, if we love. And there's no way for any of us to say, okay, this person loves, that person doesn't love. That's not up to us. This is between one person and God, right? But if you love God, you will keep his commandments. So obviously, when we read this particular verse right here, Jesus is saying this is much more than a feeling. This is a person that allows my commandments to guide their life. In other words, our actions are guided by our faith, our belief, and that's how we are going to prove to God we love him. So when you begin to read the commandments of God, you begin to read the commandments of Christ, and he says, do this, that's how we prove we love him. Pretty simple, isn't it? Y'all are kind of quiet tonight. It's worrying the pastor. Do we need a timeout for a caffeine break? So, the proof of loving God is this. I keep, you keep his commandments. Now, the way that the word keep is used there, it's kind of like an injunction coming out of a court. And the judge says, this is what you will do. So, do you love God? You will keep his commandments. That is very simple, isn't it? There's no difficulty here. See, anybody can claim I love God. And you've heard some people that you would probably think that they don't love God, but they claim that they love God. Well, we don't determine it upon what we think, what we feel, etc. What we do is we base it on, do I keep God's commandments? It doesn't say you should keep God's commandments. It doesn't say you need to keep God's commandments. It doesn't even say it would be best if you keep God's commandments. As a matter of fact, the word keep is an imperative. It's a command. Do it. It's a command straight from God. And I don't want to overstate this, but Jesus didn't say, you should obey my commandments if you love me. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments most of the time. It was very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's nothing difficult there, is there? You understand it. I understand it. That's why we took the time to develop the thought out of Isaiah 45 that God has the right to command our lives. So when he gives us a commandment, it's righteous. It is right. The focus, though, is not on what we do. The focus is on whether we love God. Now, we all think, I love God. But you know what he's saying? It's almost causal. We keep God's commandments because we love him. The more we love him, the more we keep them. The more we keep them, the more we love them. I know, it's circular thinking, totally. But it is true, isn't it? Haven't you found that the more you've fallen in love with God, the more of his commandments you want to follow? And as you've understood how keeping God's commandments drives your love for him, you try to find more ways to keep God's commandments. I can't explain it, but I know that it works that way. And that's what John was trying to record for us. He's trying to help us to understand that. So then what's amazing about this is here's John writing Jesus' words, and it must have affected him greatly. Now remember that this all occurs on the night that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, right? So it must have just sunk in. Now in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3, then John writes this, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. He takes basically those same words and then repeats them. So we know the first part, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But then he adds that little tail part on there. And his commandments are not grievous. So let's think about what he means by that. How many of y'all have used the word grievous in a sentence this past week? The word from the Greek language means that which is weighty. It has great weight, oppressive weight. So the word grievous came to mean that which was oppressive, that which was hard to carry in your life. Now, there's a lot of commandments. Well, let's take the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. How have you done with that one today? Done good with that one today, Bob? Amen. It's not all that difficult, though, isn't it? As long as you don't take what's not yours, you've pretty much got that one, right? It's not a difficult commandment, not at all. And let me ask you, has that been grieving your soul today, that you couldn't take things that weren't yours? No? Huh. Isn't that amazing? What a perfect application of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Bob is not grieved because he wasn't able to steal today. I understand it's silly, but do you understand how this begins to work in your life? Now, follow along with me. It'll take you a minute here on this one. In Psalm 23, verse number 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we know Psalm 23. We've studied that rather recently. Now, I want you to think about this. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Correct? That means God's following us with goodness and mercy. We all know what that's like. We know that it's good. Now, I want you to go back to Isaiah 45. He says, I, the Lord, speak righteousness, and I declare things that are right. I think that we can equate goodness and mercy with righteousness and right. They kind of go hand in hand, don't they? I need agreement on this one or we're stuck. But goodness and mercy are very similar to righteousness and right. Now, going back to Psalm 23, they shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow comes from the Hebrew word, which means to pursue. And it was often used in the context of hunting. Now, God hunts you for the purpose of goodness and mercy. How many of y'all say, I have felt that in my life? We do. It is quite amazing the way that God does this. Now, the question is, why does he do that? Because he wants to catch us. He follows us to catch us, to give us goodness and mercy. But we need a time where that begins to change. And instead of God just pursuing us, we need to pursue him. And it's when we fall in love with him and begin to keep his commandments that relationship begins to change. And if we are pursuing the righteousness of God, His commandments are no longer grievous to our life, they're delightful. And that's what God wants for you and what God wants for me. Wouldn't that be great? Instead of when you're heard, you need to, and God says it, instead of going, oh, you go, oh, wow. I wonder how this is going to affect my life for the good. Because when we hear a commandment, we should say, that's another one of God's blessings for our good. Now, once we begin in this relationship of loving God and keeping His commandments, it has a great effect in our lives. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, John said this, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Verse number 3 just told us this. When you and I keep God's commandments, it becomes proof that we belong to Him. You ever struggle with that, do I belong to God? We want to make sure that we get our thinking right here, because the reason why you and I need salvation in the first place is because we're not perfect. So when we say keep His commandments, I want you to know, on this earth, you are never going to be perfect at keeping His commandments. That's not what God is saying. You can never make a mistake again. How many of y'all say, I can't wait for that day, but I know it's not now? Okay? We want to be honest. These two verses here, in 1 John chapter 2, speak about the direction of our lives, the desire of our lives, the will of our lives. What is your will? Is your will to keep God's commandments? Now, that doesn't mean you'll not make a mistake. It just, we're asking, is this the desire of your heart? Is this what you want above everything else? And God says, if it is, it becomes a proof that you belong to Him. People struggle with this. One of the questions pastors get asked is, how do I know that I know that I'm saved? Right? Here's one of the answers. We do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Not perfectly, but if that's the desire of our hearts. And the converse is also true. If I don't have a desire to keep God's commandments, then the truth is not in me. And right and righteousness is not in me. And it answers the question when we are trying to figure out who we are in relation to God. And I don't want to be somebody that has no assurance in eternal life, no assurance in heaven. So we use God's word to teach us rather than how I feel today. Because how you feel today may be different than how you feel tomorrow. Correct? Yeah. So there were some thoughts in this passage that just were very simple. There's nothing hard about this. But number one, God has the right to command your life, whether you belong to Him or not, because He's God. But seeking to obey God's commandments is not vain. It's not without purpose. It has great purpose. Obeying God's commandments reveals that we love Him. And as we are doing what he says, we know that we love him. The other thing is that it's not a burden to our lives. The world will tell you far different than what you read in God's word. But the world is wrong. I want to make sure I say that right. The world is wrong. So we'll end with this thought. Obeying God's commandments are not a detriment to our lives. They're a proof of love. His love and our love. How are you doing at showing your love to God? Because he's definitely shown it to us, hasn't he? Amen? Father, we are grateful as we study in your word. And just a simple thought on commandments. And you have given us those things that are good, right, and that help us. Thank you. As we go through our week, and as we realize what you want, we pray that it would help us to know who we are and give us that opportunity to show you how much we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.